the rest of us, let's go to Psalm 119. It is a beautiful, beautiful day. God is good. The grass is green. The sky's blue. The birds are singing. Thank God we're alive. Amen. It's wonderful. Psalm 119. Didn't y'all enjoy last week with Lauren and with Michelle sharing their story? That was a whole lot of fun, and sending out some of the missionaries to Nepal and Turkey and Mongolia and Myrtle Beach and wherever. It was just a fun, fun moment. If you missed some of that, there are a few pictures posted on Facebook, on KPR Facebook. Psalm 119, verse 30, the psalmist declares, I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. I have set my heart, the psalmist said, on your laws. I've run in the path of your commands, for you've set my heart free. In the New King James, in that same verse, the latter verse we just read, verse 32, it reads this way, I will run the way of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Can you say enlarge my heart? Can you say it again? Maybe it'll get bigger as we do. Enlarge my heart. Enlarge my heart. I love in Isaiah 60, you're familiar with the passage, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Though darkness falls on the land, deep darkness on the peoples, yet the glory of the Lord will rise upon you. And it talks about the inheritance of Israel and the inheritance of the people of God. It's a powerful, powerful text. But again, I love the phrase of verse 5 of Isaiah 60. And in the Amplified, it reads, then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy and be what? Enlarged. Can you say enlarged? I love it. Love it. Lord, in fact, enlarges. I heard a couple of years ago, man telling a story about how he was piddling around the house, doing some stuff around the house, and he left his TV on. How many of y'all do that like I do? I'll leave the TV on so I can hear it going into another room. You just never know when a news-breaking story is going to come out. And God forbid you go into the kitchen and miss it, you know. But how many of y'all have done that? You've left the TV on, or maybe you're there by yourself and you want the feeling someone else is in the house, so you just kind of let that thing just talk a little bit. So I heard the story of this man who had the TV on, and he was just going about the house, and he was getting ready to sit down and watch the TV show he enjoyed called Sports Century. Anyone in here ever watch Sports Century? And it was highlighting individuals who had overcome hardships and had risen to become champions. And there was a certain notoriety about them. And so the man said that when he turned it on, the first thing he heard as he was a little bit away from the TV, he heard the audible voice of the tube, but he heard the audio portion of the TV. He heard the narrative, quote, to see him run was like a supernatural event. And he's thinking, dear me, is this ESPN or TBN? What station did I leave this TV on? And so the next statement he heard was, he was a godsend. And he's sitting there thinking, I may need to walk back in the room here. I mean, what in the world is going on down here? And so he's wondering, who in the world are they talking about? The TV commentator kept talking about the incredible exploits of this great champion. And it dawned on him that the TV anchor was not referencing a man or a woman, but was referencing a horse by the name of Secretariat. Now, we just came off the Belmont Stakes just yesterday, which was the third of a hopeful Triple Crown. Sadly, California Chrome just did not have the strength to pull it out. There has not been a Triple Crown winner since 1978. Secretariat won in 1973. Before that time, a horse had not won since 1948. the same year that Israel became a state. So 1948, this, you know, huge expanse of time before Secretariat pulled it out. But you know the three races, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and then it concludes in the Belmont Stakes. So there was a horse that had won all three in 48, then a long period of time, then 73, pow, here comes Secretariat on the scene, and then another one in 77, another in 78. And so there was a hopeful yesterday that one could pull it off because they had won the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, but didn't pull it out. So people just want something to get excited about. About 120 plus thousand people gathered in New York to watch this event last night. But anyway, Secretariat was the horse that the sports commentator was talking about. The first time ever in this sports series that they had introduced an animal with the great greats of old that had played sports through the annals of history. And so he was voted the top champion, one of the top champions of the 20th century, but again, the only animal that was in the lineup. Now, at that time in 1973, horse racing, again, it had been at an all-time low because they hadn't had a champion. We hadn't had a champion since 48. How many of you know Americans want a champion? Bless God. They want something to believe in, something to hope in. You know, when we get a little bored, we'll just make another movie. You know, Rocky 15. You know, there's got to be one more in there. Rock, come on, pull out one more. Shoot yourself up with steroids and make another one. You know, blow it up and then go out there and make. We love a champion, don't we? We love a winner. But this horse, Secretariat, it emerges from obscurity. Can you feel a sermon coming on? Don't you love those stories? You know, just out of nowhere, there had been years and years with no victory. This unknown horse races in the Kentucky Derby and is the only horse to run the Kentucky Derby under 2 minutes and wins in champion form record time. Now, Secretariat had lost the race immediately prior to the Kentucky Derby. He came out of defeat into his victory. Hello. He didn't come from just skipping along the mountaintops into a place of victory. He came out of obscurity. He came from a place of being unknown. He had lost the race just prior to the Kentucky Derby. He came out of defeat into victory. Now, had he stopped over here, he wouldn't have been a Triple Crown winner. And how many of you know a lot of life is just keep swinging? Hello? Reggie was honoring his dad. A lot of fathering, they say 95% is being there. Just be there. That's a lot of it is just being there. Staying in the game when so many would bail out. He could have bailed out. He could have consulted his feelings, being the horse that he was, you know, and said, I'm done with this. I'm going to do something else. You know, I'm going to try my hand at ping pong or something. Who knows? But at any rate, again, the context, he came out of defeat into victory. It's so easy to peter out on something that doesn't go well. You've heard the story of the man who found gold 1 inch where the guy before him stopped digging, just an inch. Just an inch. Again, we mentioned right after worship that this past Friday is the 70th anniversary of D-Day, and we love that Winston Churchill. What a leader he was, and was shaped by the nanny who raised him. His parents were out and about, had a godly nanny. Y'all know the adage, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And so he just was unrelenting. The man just flat wouldn't quit. He just wouldn't give up, just wouldn't give in. You know his famous adage, never what? Give in. Never, never, never. So one person said that he even did a commencement speech and said just that and sat down. Thank God for commencement speeches like that. You know, saves a man some chronic boredom, you know. I mean, you know, record time, 15 seconds, and probably everybody walked off saying, that was the best graduation speaker I have ever heard. How many of you know you can say more with less? You know, he just got up there and just said, never quit to these graduates. Never, 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 and walked off with his bad self. Yeah, I tell you what, they won't forget it. It'll be hung in their heart hung in their mind. Back to the horse. The newscasters are now focused on him because he won the Kentucky Derby. Secretariat gets on the cover of Newsweek, Sports Illustrated, and Time Magazine. Put this up. I mean, dear me, there he is on the cover of, I mean, can you imagine others that were like, dagnabbit, I could have gotten on, but a horse beat me out. You know, they got a horse, Mr. Ed right there making the cover, you know. And I Googled Secretariat, and there were a bunch of pictures in the gallery that popped up, said a gallery of champions. And I saw this particular cover. But the question is raised, he's won the Kentucky Derby. Can he win the Preakness? All right, he's gotten the first of three. That's a good, you know, good horsey, good. But can he go on to win the second in the Triple Crown Horse Racing Championship? And all the journalistic excitement, hoopla, and wonderment was stirring. The race comes. Secretariat takes off. The Preakness, where do you guess? In what position? Not just last, dead last. I mean, he just, maybe he was finishing up breakfast, don't know. But, I mean, they kick out of the gates, and the horses are just surging. And as you know, you have to time the race because some can shoot out like a rabbit and then peter out. And those that have, they have paced themselves could break out. But, so if you're coming out number three or four, it can be strategic. It's like, all right, I'm with you. You're drafting. You're letting the other horse cut the air. I get it. I'm with you. But when you're last, there's no strategy doing that. It's like, what's the jockey thinking? What's the horse thinking? So he comes out of the gates dead last. Now, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? Coming into the first turn, the jockey said that he was going to wait for another half mile in the race before turning it on. But the jockey said that Secretariat, who was a big horse, they called him Big Red, incidentally, big horse, at his own discretion, outside of the leadership of the jockey, at his own discretion, made passes at a turn that no other horse is able to make, passed all the other horses, and won the Preakness in record time. Started out last. Did something unconventional. Went from here to here. How many of y'all, God did that in your life, maybe when you were saved? You were in the miry pit, one fell swoop of the grace of God, boom, you're on solid ground. You're like, how'd a grown man get up here? It's called the grace of God. It's called the kindness of God. It's not huffing and puffing and sweating and self-effort, and I'm going to do better, and New Year's resolution, but I'm going to run 5 miles. I'm not going to eat any chocolate. I'm going to add another hour to prayer. And I'm going to, you know, and then the second week, the alarm goes off. You know, it's like, I'll make a resolution next year. It's the grace of God that enables, that lifts. It's his ability. It's his wind to our back. We say yes. There is involvement on our part to say yes to the grace, but he enables. This horse, he just did the unthinkable. Won the Preakness in record time. Incredible. So now he's won two of the three Triple Crown races. One journalist said, if Secretariat loses the third and final race, the whole nation is going to go up in mutiny. I mean, they so wanted a win. There had not been a win since 1948. And it's like, we want a champion. We want a win. And they said, it's going to turn sullen and mutinous if this horse doesn't come through. So finally, it's the Belmont Stakes. The Belmont Stakes is the longest of the three races. The Belmont Stakes is 1.5 miles. That is a long track. You may think, 1.5 miles. No, but they're sprinting at 1.5 miles. They're not jogging. They're sprinting all out. And again, all things can happen. You can start out going fervently, and then you can peter out. People do that in life all the time. You realize that. It's not how you start. It's how you end. We want to break the tape well at the end of our days. We want to be able to say, like Paul, I fought the good fight of faith, and now there's laid up for me a crown in heaven, not only for me, but for all and anyone that's ever believed on his name. And so we want to finish well and by his grace never bring any reproach to his name and be pleasing to him, whether at home or absent. That's our ambition. And so it's the longest race. And again, he's a big horse. That's not a good recipe. Long race, large horse. Now, when we watch the Olympics and we watch these marathons and we watch the, what's the longest race in the Olympics? How many miles? What is it? In the 30s? What is it? How many miles? 26.2. How many of you know they don't have sumo wrestlers out there that sign up for that event, all right? And just, you know, let him do something else. It's a little slower. This is a large horse, and it's a long length for a race at an all-out sprint. So it's not looking really like it's going to play into his favor. If Secretariat were to lose the race, this would be the one due to its length and his size. The big red horse. So, again, you got to remember, the race had not been won since 1948. So, bing, the bell goes off, the race begins. Lo and behold, Secretary comes out of the gate. Guess where? Last. Last. Dead last. And behind all the other horses, I just did a little, and then I didn't do it on purpose, but behind all the other horses, and there he is again. It's like, you know, what's a horse thinking? And then out front, the out front horse that took off, Secretariat catches up. Can you say catches up? He started last. But the out front horse, Secretariat, catches up in time. Aren't you glad we have a few years to get it right on the earth? Aren't you glad there's still time to become the person you almost became? There's still time. He catches up. Come on, late bloomers, are we here? How many of you know it's all right to be a late bloomer? Better late bloomer than no bloomers at all. Amen. Hello? So it's like, great. He catch up, started here, but he does it. He runs the first quarter in record time. In record time. Most horses run the first half of the race in their best time and then back off. Hello? No one ever speeds up a mile and a half. They usually either stay somewhat steady or back off somewhat. This horse did the opposite. This horse, it's not how we begin, it's how we end, as we know. He did the opposite. Secretariat ran the first quarter at record pace. He ran the second quarter faster than the first. Unheard of. He ran the third quarter faster than the second. Who would think? I mean, this is some unusual animal here. No ordinary bird. It almost feels supernatural. One horse tries to keep up with Secretariat all through this time, named Sham. Now, Sham had been a rival in previous races with Secretariat. I mean, even the name Sham. I mean, it's as if this champion, Secretariat, he's the authentic. This Sham, it's like, you know, the magicians, Pharaoh's magicians that came out against Moses. Moses was the real deal. He had the authentic power of God, threw his staff down. It became a snake. Then Pharaoh calls the magicians down. They throw their rods down. It becomes a snake. But Moses' snake eats their snake. It's a sham. Anything dark in the world, that counterfeit power, that borrowed power, is still subjected to the great one. Even the enemy is a created being. Our God is the uncreated being. People are like, oh, what the devil's doing. Don't you worry about him. You obsess with God. God is uncreated. He's existed from eternity past. No one else has that resume. Oh, what an unusual animal this horse was. So this sham tries to keep up with Secretariat. It's the horse that actually beat him the race just before the Kentucky Derby. So here's the memory coming up on him. Here comes that memory. That's why we love baptism. It cuts off the reproach of Egypt. It severs that old man. If you've not been baptized in water, do it quick. It severs that old man that's just hanging around you, reminding you of your former life. God says, no, no, no. We want that circumcision done without hands, and we come up in the newness of life. And here comes that memory of yesterday coming right up to the secretariat. It's like just the reminder. He's the symbol of my defeat. Kind of like Nehemiah when he was authorized to go into Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. There's always a curveball. There's always some type of pesky warfare. In comes Sanballat and Tobiah, just pesky. We talked about Hannah a few days ago, you know, and how Peninnah was over there mocking her about being barren. And here is Sham right on his heels, coming up on him, but also the reminder of what beat him in a former race. The intimidation is right there. Sham tries to keep up with Secretariat the first half of the race and was determined to keep up, so much so that Sham actually injured himself trying to keep up with Secretariat and faded to last and never ran another race. The speed was too much for Sham, but only seemed to energize Secretariat. Again, the speed was too much for Sham, but only seemed to energize Secretariat. When the enemy reminds you of your past and your defeat, why don't you just go ahead and remind him of his future? Like, look, you're going to burn in the lake of fire forever. Now just get out of here. I'll remind you of your, you were an angel in heaven. You know, you got the left foot of fellowship. You got dropped. Now let me remind you of your future. In other words, leave me alone. He found energy based on the intimidation. And that's why we provoke one another to love and good deeds. But when the enemy lies to you, take comfort. God's going to do the opposite. You just gave me my promise for the day. Whatever you're lying to me about, I'm going to find a promise that corresponds to that and debunks that. Thank you. The area of your attack is the very area God wants to use you. The area of your attack is also the place of your anointing. Because he's threatened and he's intimidated. And so we need to take encouragement. If he's hitting me here, that means God wants to use me there. We prepare our minds for action, Peter says. He was energized. Our challenge could energize us as well. Secretariat comes into the last stretch of the Belmont Stakes. If I don't know, y'all need to all go home and Google it now. Just get on YouTube and find it. It's a little blurry because it's 1973, but you ought to see him just break away from the pack. It's just like I ain't never seen anything like that in my born days. He begins to just break away from Sham and the others, one horse length, two horse lengths, three horse lengths, four horse lengths. He broke the tape 31 horse lengths. Lengths ahead of the pack. It's unheard of. He broke away and found energy. He started off last, like Eric Little on Chariots of Fire, who tripped, was last, and somehow mustered up the ability and the wherewithal to, even with that liability. And here's the thing, the enemy would say, liability, liability, stay down. We say, no, 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 bless God. But you shouldn't have done that, devil. But just because of that, I'm going to pour on a greater head of steam. You shouldn't have done that. It's as if when Stephen was being stoned and his clothes were laid at the feet of Paul, it's as if, oh, you shouldn't have gotten one of our best. No, I'm going to get that booger Saul of Tarsus, and I'm going to pluck him out of destruction, and I'm going to set him apart to be a chief apostle. Shouldn't have done that. Oh, I love it. 31 lengths ahead of the other horse. It's just unheard of to just this energy, this power that he seemed to be running with. The fastest Belmont in history. Fastest time in America, probably the world. People were standing. They were screaming. They were going berserk. I'm sure they dropped their drinks and threw off their hats. It is a hat party when you go to these races. It's a social event. You know, you're there for hours, and then when the gun sounds, it's over in 2 minutes. You realize that. It's not like a football game, and God forbid it's not like a baseball game, you know, or golf. It is over. So you do all your partying on the front end, and then after 2 minutes, it's like yesterday, the coverage of the Belmont Stakes and all this footage about California Chrome, it started at 4:30. The race didn't begin at 7, until 7. But once it began at 7, it was done at 7:02. And then the crowds, they all go home. All of that buildup for that one amazing sprint. People are just going fanatical. They're screaming, they're standing. The greatest race ever run. Run at a pace and time that's never been beat. Here's the point I want to make today. Something was discovered about Secretariat after he died. Secretariat ran a few more races, retired to a breeding farm, and eventually died of hoof disease. But when an autopsy was done on Secretariat, all his organs were perfectly healthy. Here's the thing, though. Your average thoroughbred has a heart weighing 8.5 pounds. 8.5 pounds. When they opened up Secretariat, his heart weighed 22 pounds. Unheard of. It was almost like a freak. He was completely healthy. It wasn't a deformity. The horse had a large heart, and the other organs in his chest cavity had rearranged themselves to accommodate that enlarged heart, that big heart. The horse had an engine in him. And there was a rearrangement. It wasn't something that was wrong. It looked like a fluke, but he just had a mammoth heart. Can you see where this is going? Oh, to have a mammoth heart in this day in which we live. 22 pounds. 22 pounds. Perfectly healthy. Nothing wrong with him. All the organs were intact. The reports were, quote, we can't explain it. Other reports, quote, freak of nature. Other reports said it was a veterinary phenomenon. It's just, he was packing more power than your average horse. He just had a bigger engine than all those other horses. Again, Psalm 119:32, the psalmist said, I will run the way of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Church, your Heavenly Father is a champion. And He's called you as the same. You're created in His image. He invests His Spirit. It's just not any old Spirit. He invests His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. We're Trinitarian here, are we not? God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. His Holy Spirit, not just any spirit. When Jesus would cast out demons, He'd say, you unclean spirit, come out of the man. He's given you His Holy Spirit. We are born again of incorruptible seed. Hebrews says it's the power of an indestructible life. Or born from above, we need to contemplate, Selah, on the inside of me, the uncreated God dwells. Yeah, the uncreated God. He doesn't just make just a little dippity-doo deposit. The Spirit of God comes to live within a man. Temple made without hands. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's a powerful thing in our eyes. He is invested His Spirit, and given us an amazing engine whereby to run. Your Father is a champion, and He makes no mistakes. He doesn't make junk. He's made you and I to be a champion. For the spirit of a champion abides within you. You've been given a 22-pound heart by the Spirit of God to run the race God has for you. He's not going to give you just a little dippity-doo. He's going to give you the goods to cut through the intimidation and the resistance of life so that you can finish and finish well. God would never send us into battle ill-equipped. He gives us his word, his spirit. We have the cross. We have his name. We have all the benefits of the atonement. If he did not withhold his only son, shall he not freely grant us all things? He's given us this powerful weaponry whereby we win. But our job is to take it up, to learn of it, to employ it, to use it strategically in a focused way, to understand the landmines, to understand the tactics of the enemy of our soul, but to take that great Holy Ghost and all the weaponry God has given us and push through. Secretariat has a sham. You have a sham. I have a sham. Nehemiah had a Sanballat and Tobiah. Hannah had a Penina. So what? May it only provoke and energize you. May it remind you of God wants to do in you and through you. Your Heavenly Father's a champion, and he's made you and I to be the same. He's going to enlarge our hearts in these days in which we live. He's placed a mandate, an amazing mandate upon his people everywhere that will enable and empower us to do it. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's what? It's by the Spirit of the Lord. See, you can look within and go, dear Lord, there ain't no horsepower up in here. You ever done that? You ever looked within and taken inventory and going, dear me, I'm just going to go back to bed. There's nothing good in there. It all comes from above. It's all from. That's why we have to keep disciplining ourselves to look up. Yeah, but look what I'm not. No, but look. And we got to keep practicing where to set our gaze. It's him. It's him. Help comes from above. Yeah, but I'm limited here, and here. He was dead last. You may feel dead last. He's like, no, you look to me, and help cometh from above. Help cometh from heaven. Grace cometh from heaven. Keep your gaze on me. I will strengthen you and fortify you. I will increase my engine within you. Two paths among many I want to just conclude with today of heart enlargement. I mean, we could build this out all different kind of directions of how to get an enlarged heart. Y'all know one of my favorites is David. One of his recipes is he just looked and gazed on the Lord. Oh, to dwell in the house of the Lord. Oh, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. I mean, there are all kind of things you can do, all kind of remedies to enlarge ourselves. There are all kind of examples and models in Scripture that we can identify with. We'll just look at just a couple of posturings here. One, Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. This is something for everyone. This is something we all can do. It reads, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. You ever felt weary? It's okay. He's not. You ever felt depleted? It's okay. He's not. Says the Lord, the everlasting God, he doesn't faint, he's not weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. You ever felt weak? Great, you're a candidate for power. You're a candidate for power. See, if you're strong in yourself, then you're weak in God. But if you're weak and know you're weak, then you can be strong in God. Let the weak say, I am strong. We don't pretend to be something we're not. Lord, I can't, but you can, therefore I can. I can do all things through Christ to strength. We're not confused where the strength comes from. But if we think, hey, I'm the dude, I don't need God, he goes, fine, then go on with your bad self. Go on with your half tank. Wait until the real battle hits. And then we'll fall on the rock, hopefully at that time. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And those who have no might, he what? Increases what? Strength. He increases strength. It's not us huffing and puffing. What are you doing? I'm increasing strength. I'm just trying and pushing and striving. You know, it's interesting, the garments of the priest, the Levitical priest in the Old Testament, they would wear linen garments. Why? Because they were not to sweat in their own strength. It was to be the strength of God. They did what they did. It goes on to say here, even youths, I mean, even the best of the best, even when you're in your prime, even youths, what, shall faint and be weary? And young men, I mean, young men have a certain vigor about them, but here The prophet says even the young men can fall. Oh, but 31, but those who what? But those who wait on the Lord, what will happen? What will happen? What will happen? They shall renew their strength. They'll mount up, bless God. There's a mounting up in the grace of God. You feel laid low, there's a mounting up. You feel in the desert, there's a mounting up. You feel done in, you feel last, in the very last horse, there's a bucking up. There's a mounting up. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Humanly speaking, you can't do that. It's the gift of God. Even the great Muhammad Ali, you know, now, he went from, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest, to bless his heart, a complete deterioration of health. All men are like grass. We wither and blow away. This is not rah, rah, look at us. Ooh, man, you know, this is the grace of the Lord, help from above. There's a mounting up. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So again, multiple applications of where we can enlarge our heart. One is just simply waiting on the Lord. Being with the Lord. Ministering to the Lord. Being at the feet of the Lord. How many of y'all know anybody can do that? We take inventory. You know, I didn't get this certain kind of package, or I was measured out this many minas, as you see the parable of the talents in Scripture. You know, this is the portion I have. Regardless of whatever portion you have, take that, posture yourself before the Lord, and watch what He does in you. See, we get before the flame, that flame that's got a consuming nature about it. We get before that flame of God and His presence, and all of a sudden that flame gets on you. That activity drops in your heart. It comes on. You can't get near to God and remain unchanged. You can't get close to Him and be cavalier. That's why in heaven we're going to need a glorified body. You get real near to God here on earth, you're like John on the Isle of Patmos. He was on his face like a dead man. People wonder, why do so many people fall when the presence of God is thick? Real profound answer. It's because they can't stand. You can't take but so much, our finiteness. We can't handle but so much. We get near to Him, His activity goes into us. His strength goes into us. His muscle is imparted and translated into us. There's a download. Well, I don't feel it. That was a boring 30-minute prayer meeting. Oh, no, no, God's not mocked. You sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. You don't have to have goosebump number one. You take some time with Him, there are holy downloads going into you and I. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter if there's any glitter, bells, and whistles. You get near to Him, something will go into you. People say, I don't enjoy the Word. It's boring. Doesn't matter. Doesn't have to be anointed. You get in the Word, something's getting up in you. You worship. Well, I feel crusty. Well, give them the sacrifice of worship, you know, with your old clanky self. Just, you know, give them a little something, and there'll be a shift. Unless we're just committed to our misery, there's a download. Those who wait upon the Lord, there's a bucking up in the grace of God. Strength, an enlarged heart, grace. That's why we learn the art of praise. Even when we want to lend our mouth to something else. How many of you know any fool can complain? Do we realize that? It doesn't take a prophet to look at a situation and go, ooh, that's bad. Yeah, but what are you doing about it? Speak life into that situation. Life. Prophesy the breath. Prophesy the breath. Can those dry bones live? Only God knows. Speak to them. Prophesy over them. The power of the direction of our words. So just waiting. Can you say just waiting? Secondly, and again, multiple applications here. I'm just mentioning one or two. Secondly, you know, today just happens to be Whit Sunday. How many of y'all know what Whit Sunday is? On your calendar probably says Whit Sunday. Whit Sunday is 50 days after the resurrection. It's another name for Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. And so the disciples were in that place, what, in the upper room? What were they doing? Waiting, right? Ooh, waiting. Interesting. Did God just tinker with them and play with them, or did he reward their waiting? You say, I just wasted 30 minutes. I didn't feel anything. No. It's not about that. It's not about how I feel. It's about obedience. It's something is happening in the spirit when I obey. And so he asked them to come and hang. Y'all know the story. 500 had the invitation. Only 120 showed up. The other 380, you know, they were out at Starbucks. They were distracted, you know. They missed that moment on the day of Pentecost. This is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after the resurrection. Something happened to that little motley crew. Peter couldn't even stand before that little servant girl. And then on the day of Pentecost, he went from Clark Kent to Superman in one fell swoop. What shifted? What was that all about? God in his power just gave him a 22-pound heart in the moment. That same Peter that couldn't stand before that little girl then stands up on the day of Pentecost, starts waxing eloquent, begins to look at all the people standing around and begins to stick out that old lanky finger and said, let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And I mean, his words stuck. They stuck like arrows. They stuck hard and fast. They were smitten in the heart and said, what shall we do? He said, I'll tell you what you need to do. Repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That same Peter, a 22-pound heart just got transferred to him. Those who wait on the Lord, there was a mounting up. It wasn't Peter. Now, people talk about on this rock, I'll build my church. It was built on Peter. Peter couldn't get his own. He couldn't balance his own checkbook. You know, it wasn't built on him. It was the revelation of the Christ that came out of his mouth. But God does use, he does use frail humankind. And he raises us up and he lifts us up together with him in heavenly places. If we'll look to him and wait and obey, he can transfer that heart to us. Just go through a couple of these verses real quick since we're on Pentecost Sunday. Acts 1, 4 through 8. Y'all know the story. This is familiar. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave the command, don't leave Jerusalem, but do what? Wait. Can you say wait? This is not passive waiting. This is active waiting. It's anticipation and hunger, 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 hunger. God cannot resist hunger. He cannot. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled, not the casual inquirer. The hungry, Lord, make me hungry. Salvation is free, but intimacy is according to hunger. I want to be hungry. Stoke the flames within me. He said, don't leave, but wait, because he knew the church was going to be born, but he's not going to send them out ill-prepared, ill-equipped. Wait for the gift my Father's promised, which you've heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized, what, with the Holy Spirit. Go on, if you would. So they began to meet and ask themselves. They started talking about the times of the restoration of the kingdom. Verse 8, he said, look, don't worry about all that, but you'll receive power. Can you say power? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. Can you say on you? Now, were they already saved? Were they already believers? Yeah. So when you see the preposition on or upon, it's always in reference to power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, not in you, when you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within. When you see the preposition on or upon, it's always in reference to power. And he says, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and you will be my what? Witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we are saved, and then we're filled to do the mission to run the race with his help. He becomes the wind to our back. Some people say, well, I got it all at conversion. Well, great. But in the scriptures, there were multiple fillings. A.W. Tozer was asked one time, why do you always talk about being filled and refilled? He said, simple, because I leak. Maybe y'all know we leak in life. Life happens. We need a fresh infilling. We need a fresh encounter. Thank God for yesterday's encounter, but what about today's encounter? We need a fresh mantling, a fresh baptism, a fresh filling again. Thank God for that initial time, but that's just earnest. There's more where that comes from. God doesn't decrease. We go from faith to faith, strength to strength. Hello, glory to glory. Just like Secretariat, you don't start hard and then peter out. No, it only increases. For the righteous, it's like the dawning of the day that shines brighter and brighter until what? The full day. And so he increases. When life happens, you take a hit, go get filled. Go back to the source. Go back to the fountain. Are we here? And he gives power to be his witness. He gives power. He gives a 22-pound heart. He gives an engine. He takes just goofy, unpredictable Peter and turns him into a rock somehow. The Holy Ghost came on him. He went from failure to victory. And his weakness, God strengthened him yet. Also, we read the story. He gave them the command to do that, to wait. They did. Acts 2, verse 1, you know the story. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were what? Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You say, well, that makes me nervous. Well, go on and rip that out of your Bible if you want to then. You know, it's like we're always trying to clean it up. You know, let me clean that up a little bit. A little stigma on that. Rip. I mean, there's stigma all through this thing. I mean, it's man didn't write it. Oh, the Bible was written by man. If that was true, he would have made it a whole lot easier on man. Hello? He would have made it a whole lot easier. You know, there's this all kind of stigma and hoops and jumps. And I wouldn't have done it that way. That probably means it's God. I wouldn't have had if I was God, I wouldn't have my son of God, born in a manger with a heaping pile. I would have had him born in the Renaissance. Hello? I would have done it differently. It lets me know that was probably God. When we know, I wouldn't have done it that way. Probably God. Maybe God. Not as an absolute, you understand. So God responded. They waited. God responded. They waited. God responded. Can we say that together? They waited. God responded. You know, 2,000 years later, God's doing the same. Those who wait on the Lord, there's a mounting up. There's a bucking up. See, prayer is a means to an end. Worship, a means to an end. The disciplines of the faith, Bible study, a means to an end. What's the end? Him. Him. It gets us to him. Him. It's kind of like an alien lands on earth. You know, they stand, take me to your leader. Well, the Word of God takes us to our leader. Prayer takes us to our leader. Worship takes us to our leader. It gets us from point A to point B. It gets us there. You see, waiting gets us there. And the Holy Spirit just kept showing up time and time again. Acts 4, verse 31, they gathered together. They prayed. The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word boldly. They waited. They prayed. The Spirit came. There was a manifestation. The Word of God was spoken with great boldness. Also, we can track into Samaria in Acts 8. They received the word of the Lord, we know. And then upon hearing that Samaria had received the word of the Lord, Peter and John came down in verse 14. It said, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come. What's the preposition? Upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And you'll remember Simon the sorcerer in verse 18. It says, when he saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of hands, he asked if he could pay them money for that ability as well. Peter said, may you perish with your money. You know, you're this kind of man, da-da-da-da, repent, and perhaps the Lord can forgive you. When he saw what happened, he was like, wow, I'd like to do that as well. There was a very specific manifestation there. Also at Cornelius' house in Acts 10, y'all remember the revelation of if it's in the sheet, you can eat. The Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles had been grafted in to God's inheritance. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on. What's the preposition? Came on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and what? Praising God. Also in Acts 19, Paul goes down to Ephesus and he found some believers. Again, when you're a believer, do you have the Spirit of God dwelling within? Absolutely. But again, this is a baptism unto power. This is not salvation. This is a second experience of grace that upon being saved, you qualify for the empowering to be his witness, to go into the earth and to see his kingdom come. So while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior, arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Another translation says, "Since you believed." They answered, "No, we have not heard there is a Holy Spirit." You ever heard that before? People are comfortable with God the Father, yay, God the Son, yay. And you talk about the Holy Spirit, who, what? Who, you know, they're comfortable with the Father, they're comfortable with the Son, but I don't know about that Holy Spirit. Is that some kind of spook? What is that? No, the Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Amen? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you ask for bread, guess what you're going to get? Bread. You're not going to get a snake. Are we here? So he gives good gifts. He's not out to bait and switch and to trick. He gives us what we need. He strengthens us. He equips us to run the race. He'll give us a 22-pound heart if we'll ask, if we'll inquire, if we'll wait, if we'll be hungry enough. So they said, "No, we've not even heard that there is this engine, this Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "What baptism did you receive?" They said, "John's baptism." That was salvation, the baptism of repentance, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came, what's the preposition? On them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. They were believers. He came to them. He ministered this second experience of grace, and they were strengthened, and it rocked the church. And Acts is still being written today. A larger engine. Isaiah 65 says, again, "Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy and be enlarged." And be enlarged. Want to be enlarged? There's a lot shriveling up all around. A lot of people are shriveled up just in their soul. The enlargement that God gives is so that we might transfer breadth and strength and grace to those that don't know how to get there. We win our race, and then we help others learn how even to run in the race that they might run their race. Amen. Can we stand together? God in heaven, Lord, Lord, we thank you for stories, Lord, of champions. For Lord, you're the ultimate champion. Lord, thank you that again you came down with mighty deliverance to help all of us. And now, Lord, I pray the delivered become deliverers. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Just say, "Lord, just fill my life and touch my life. Give me a 22-pound heart in the Spirit. As I wait upon you, you promised there'd be a bucking up, a mounting up. You said that we'd run and not grow weary, we'd walk and not faint. We just ask you, Spirit of the Lord, for more of your power, more of your anointing, more of your grace, more of your might. More, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you for the encounter we had yesterday, but there's a fresh experience today. There's a fresh encounter today. Lord, love on us as we love on you, as we wait on you. Wind of God, come, we pray. Breath of God, breath of heaven, come. Just touch and feel. Strengthen, renew, refresh. Afresh today. Afresh today. If you're here today and you by chance don't know the Lord, we want to pray for you. We would just ask you to come up so that we can pray for you. Secondly, if you're here today and you're saved, but you've yet to be prayed for, to receive this second experience of grace as we stand on this Pentecost Sunday, we would love just to pray for you to receive that endowment, that power to be his witness, so that you can cut across and cut upstream of resistance in life. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your strength. We love you. We praise you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, church.